Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's the Heidi and Frank Show on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles. Heidi and Frank Show, 8 a.m. here on Friday, October 16th. And joining us is comedian Steve Byrne. Yes, he wrote and directed the new film, The Opening Act. It's available starting today on Apple, iTunes, and Amazon. How you doing,
Hi,
Mr. Byrne?
How are you?
It's so nice to see new people besides ourselves.
And why not bring an Asian into the studio in a confined space? I just came back from a wet market. Is that cool? Is that okay with you guys?
But you're not, clear it up, you're not from China.
I'm not, I don't have the Chinese virus. I'm not here to, I'm not a super spreader, okay? You can't get, it's not an STD, people. Get over it.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you too.
It's wow. Hat day.
It is. It's hat day today. Well, I think it's been hat day for like
We look
the
last like the night
months.
Shift at Lids.
We really do. And Johnny's all Pittsburghed out. You're from
I love
Pittsburgh.
It. I was going to say, yeah, I was going to say that.
You
very
guys.
Nice. Yes. Now he makes eye contact. Look at me when I walk in the room.
Yeah. You're very famous.
I'm a grown man. I'm a grown man.
Respect your leader.
Yeah, your Steelers doing well this season.
Doing well. Hope. You just jinxed it.
I know, I totally did.
Stairway to Seven.
Because he's a Broncos fan, that's why.
We were done a long time ago. Steve, you are always working, seems like. You're always working, you're always writing. During this pandemic, though, where have you found the time?
Well, you know, it's funny. Before the pandemic hit, before we all went into quarantine, my daughter's 8 years old. She's at the age, finally, where she realizes daddy leaves every weekend. She's emotional. She's crying. Daddy, why do you have to leave all the time? Why do you have to leave all the time? And just crying. And I remember last time I was leaving, I pulled out the driveway and I see her in the bay window and she's crying and waving. And just every fiber of my soul wants to throw the car in park and go, I'm your daddy. I'm going to stay here this weekend. But you got to keep the lights on, right? So off to Boise or wherever I'm working that weekend.
Yeah.
I come home and then all of a sudden, quarantine hits, pandemic hits. Uh-huh. I'm at home. I'm with the wife, the kids. I'm like, this is great. 6 months in, I'm like, what water fountain did you chuck a quarter into to wish your daddy to stay home? And you caused a global pandemic, small businesses, Disneyland shut down. My daughter did it all. I blame her. So it's her fault.
She wanted daddy to stay home.
She wanted daddy to stay home, and she got her wish. But everybody suffered.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you had time to write.
Now we're defunding the police. With my daughter.
it's all her fault.
That's right.
New film you got opening up today, The Opening Act. Is it basically your life story?
It's semi-autobiographical, so everything that happened in the film has happened to me in real life, yes.
So stars Jimmy O. Yang from Silicon Valley.
You want me to do it for you?
Yeah.
I've done this quite a few times.
Yeah.
Jimmy O. Yang from Silicon Valley plays the MC. Alex Moffat from SNL plays the feature act. Cedric the Entertainer plays the headliner. Mm. We have Whitney Cummings, Eliza Schlesinger, Angela Johnson, Kathleen Madigan, Bill Burr, Ken Jeong, Russell Peters, Tom Segura, Neil Brennan, Roy Wood Jr., Felipe Esparza, and so many more. And when you see that list on the poster, it's like, that's why I'm not in my own damn film, because look at all these great comics.
Yeah,
so
right,
there's no
right.
room for me. Yeah.
Whoa. I remember when you were in here last, you were talking about in the process of making it, I think we were talking about.
Yes. I was in the process of doing it, and now it's done, and it is out today. And I'm telling you, it is. Where's the camera? Which one do I look
you
at?
You are.
It is
this
the
guy
best
right
film about stand-up comedy. Mark my words. It's 86% on Rotten Tomatoes
Ooh.
Right now. It is aces, and every comic that's been in it has seen a screener, and they all call or text me verbatim. It's like deja vu. The same conversation. I loved it. It's so authentic. And you just re-triggered all these horrible memories from early in my career that now I have to go see my therapist next week. So thanks for that. So,
is it uncomfortable to watch? As
it's uncomfortable to be in the studio with the DJs that inspired the midpoint of the film.
Is it in there?
It is in there,
oh,
yes.
Oh, my God.
So the radio scene in the film is based loosely off the experience I had with you guys years ago. We're friends now, but, it's based off it. So when you see the film,
oh my God.
Just remember, you guys were the inspiration for the midpoint of the film where things start to go pretty bad for the comedian on the road. Because
oh,
that
God.
Was the second time I ever did morning radio. was with you guys. And obviously, I wasn't prepared. And just like everything else in the film, it's all of Jimmy Yang experiencing the firsts as a professional comedian, hitting the road for the first time, from bachelorette parties to hecklers to pleasing the manager to, yes, morning radio. And unless you have that muscle and the experience, you don't know how to do it. And I did not know how to do it. So
No, you did.
That was what it was.
You just caught Frosty on the rag.
Yeah. Because Frank and I, we were, I thought it was hysterical.
Oh, like, yeah, because you were killing it for us, but then and obviously,
we didn't like
Frosty
it.
Frosty uncomfortable. But you were talking about, like, Frosty, I would just love to sit on your lap and just eat a peach. And the way, and then,
I don't know what I was doing.
But it was funny because Frank and I were looking at each other and this is so hilarious.
Because I'd love to see Frosty get all irritated anyway. And I saw him getting there, but I had no idea he was going to blow up and go crazy.
It happened pretty quickly. And
it
I
did.
Remember
I even, we were like, what's
security
going on?
Escorted me out. And then Sebastian Maniscalco lived a block away from the radio station where you guys were, and I went over to his place. I knocked on the door. He goes, "What's wrong?" I go, "Turn on the radio." So we turn on the radio, and then we listen to you guys eviscerate me for the next 15 minutes on the air. I just moved to LA. I'm thinking, everybody heard this. I got to pack my bags and go home. And as soon as they cut to commercial, Sebastian's got his mug of coffee. He puts it down. He looks at me. He goes, "What the hell did you do, guy?"
But it worked out for you.
It sure did.
It worked out, and we're friends, and thank God for it, and thank you for providing
and
the
impetus.
And we got
rid of Frosty for it. We were like, no, you got to go.
I miss him. We're, you know, he's gone, but
the pandemic
if it wasn't for him, he's gone,
No.
Oh my God.
His job, not his life. No.
The look on Seabird's face.
Yeah, I guess
oh
you haven't been back since before.
I was like, give me the whiskey. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry about it. Well, I still have the plaque he gave me where he anointed me the most annoying comic he didn't want to be around or whatever it was. And I still have that up in my garage. Again, next to the plaque that Colin Jost sent me where I made a man crap his pants in Sacramento, California. I made a man laugh so hard he crapped his pants. And he crapped his pants and... it was the 8 o'clock show. The 10 o'clock show was all outside waiting to come in. And the man ran past them, and the poop fell on the sidewalk.
Oh,
and so
my
Colin,
God.
And then these people must be thinking, what kind of show's going on in here? Yeah. This is great. People are crapping their pants. So Colin made me come outside and take a picture next to it, and it's up in my...
Next to
one of said turds,
one of the turds.
That fell out.
There's no bigger win for a comedian. Wow. You made someone laugh so hard.
That's an Oscar for a comic, I think.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, because pee, you made me pee, I'm going to pee. I mean, that's one thing, but to go the other side,
so
it's even bigger.
So
by the way, I did
know.
It in Calgary, too. International. I've done it twice.
Yeah?
I've done it twice. Yeah.
But you didn't know at the time when you were on stage that the guy crapped himself. Like, he didn't, like, instantly do one of these.
No, you know what? I was on this hot run. It was like being in Vegas. Where
so
you
was
just,
he.
Just keep hitting me. Hit. Yeah. But I was doing really well, and then I saw the security come over and tap him on the shoulder because people must have been like,
oh, right.
Did somebody crap their pants? Like, so the security guard tapped him on the shoulder. I saw him get up and run out. I thought, oh, that's weird, but I've learned if I pay attention, the audience will look at it. So I just kept bulldozing through, and then lo and behold, I achieved one of the greatest moments in my stand-up comedy career. The opening act, and I made somebody crap their pants in Sacramento next to a sleep train in the top of a strip mall.
Is the crapping of the pants in the opening act?
No. Hopefully that'll be in the sequel.
Oh, you're writing the sequel.
No,
you probably are.
I love your glasses. What's it like to discover electricity?
You know, keeping the key on the string was the hardest part. I was like, do I tie it on there? Do I just let it... slide.
You'd be like a Pride Parade hot Ben Franklin.
Oh, yeah, for sure, Dad.
A WeHo.
All about the Benjamins.
A WeHo
with
Ben
this
Franklin.
One.
Yeah, that's what you should do. That wire that goes up.
There's Halloween, baby. That... WeHo Ben Franklin.
Yeah, these are my thin optics now that I'm 50 years old. And thank you so much, by the way,
you look
for
great,
your
by
birthday
way.
Video that you sent me for my birthday.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's great. I appreciate everybody who did it. But yeah, these I have to have these now. Hit that age.
We hit like that this, age. You look like you're in your 30s, though.
Thank you. No. Thank you. How old are you?
You guys
now?
Look like crap. You look great.
Right. Yeah, I know.
He's
I know,
the boss. I got to go. You know.
How old are you?
46.
Yeah, you look you're really young. You look boyish, too.
It's the Asian skin, but once Asians turn 70, you go from like Lucy Liu to Yoda. Like, 40, I don't know what
you
happened.
You just hit a
boom. Yeah. Do you think you're more Asian or Irish?
Well, I keep looking at that whiskey, so I'd say both. Yeah, because Koreans are the Irish of Asia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did not.
Yeah, because they have that reputation. So when Europeans go over there, like, oh my God, it's like being in Ireland, because they love to party, they love whiskey, they love to fight, they love cabbage, potatoes, and they both have an aversion to the sunlight. So they both are very similar.
Do you want a shot?
I'll do one, because this is, I've been holding out until today. Throughout the quarantine, I've been like, you know, when the film comes out, I'm going to rip it up.
Oh, right. Now you're like, the job's done. It's opening today.
It's out there. And I would love a shot of whiskey. Is that whiskey?
This is Metallica's whiskey.
Yeah.
They play Metallica to the barrels.
Oh, great. That means I'm going to have a Metallica incident in the restroom probably later today. But
it's called blackened whiskey. And that is the thing. It's bourbon and rye blend.
And then I don't know if I could drink something called Blacken from a white man because you were privileged. So please, can we just call something else? Thank you.
It was called Whitey Juice, but then we changed it.
That didn't go over well either. No, marketing.
That'll be the 18 year, sir. Well, cheers.
Congratulations on all your success.
Cheers.
And
Thank you so much.
Check out the opening act. Today opens up today on Apple,
and
iTunes,
at
and
the
Amazon.
Vineland,
and Amazon. Yeah,
I told my mom called me. She said, "Where can I see it?" I go, "Mom, it's streaming." She goes, "Enough about R. Kelly." Sorry, I had to.
Oh, Mrs. Byrne with the 1-2 punch.
But VOD, we're gonna go see it at Vineland this weekend. Some cast members, so it's at the Vineland Drive-In. I do know that.
Oh, cool! Hell yeah, I love drive-ins. The opening act. Go support our friend Steve Byrne.
Ooh, that's good.
That's good stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's a. Woo! Give me a lighter. I heard the drum kick there for a sec.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this on the news the other day. A reporter asked Joe Biden what he thinks of Kenosha. He said, "How dare you? Her name is Kamala."
Oh! Wow. Oh, yeah.
Got to be careful. Politically correct times, right? All the Southern bands are changing their names. Dixie Chicks are now just the Chicks. Lady Antebellum, Lady A. Even Alabama. Alabama is now known as Vermont. Hit me. Sorry.
Can't be too careful. Yeah. Hit me.
You got to take Eric with you the next time you go on the road.
The only thing sadder than the timing on that was my 2020 calendar. Hit me.
Do you miss the road?
Oh, God.
No.
I mean, I said you joked around about your daughter keeping you home. And so 6 months at home, it's like as far as going out and doing the stand-up, because you're so great at stand-up.
Well, thank you.
Do you miss just being
I don't.
There?
I know it's going to come back. So in my mind, I've just compartmentalized it to the fact of, like, enjoy every second you get with your family, because especially during these crazy days, you want to be around your family. You want to be with your loved ones. But I don't miss stand up. Like, the minute I do it, I love it. I've done it sporadically over the pandemic, but I've gone to Miami. Miami was the club I went to when the pandemic was just like maybe 3 months in, and things, Florida opened first, of course.
Well,
Florida
yeah, of course,
opened
first.
Yeah. So I go to Miami and I'll never forget, I go on stage the first time in months. I'm watching everything. You guys saw the rioting happen in Minneapolis. This was that week.
Oh, jeez.
And I saw, my wife's from Minnesota, so I saw in real time everything going down. The Target was the first store to get looted in Minneapolis. And I'm not saying black people looted the Target. I'm not saying black people rioted that Target. But everything in that Target was gone except for the country music CDs. Come on now. So I go to... I go to Miami, and I'm on stage, and I see a black couple in front, and I talk to them, and I'm like, hey, we're all watching the news, you know, we're all with you and everything, and I immediately pivot and making some jokes and having some fun, and then I go to this next guy on the complete opposite side of the road. He was a buff guy, medium t-shirt. I was making fun of him. And I go, so, sir, what do you do for a living? He's like, I'm a police officer. And you could feel the air just leave the room. And I'm like, oh, God, how do I cut the blue wire? I got 3 seconds. And instantly, I look at the black couple. I go, I got this. And I go over, and we start talking. And I'm in the back of my mind. I'm like, I'm going to figure this out. And eventually what happened is I got them each to take a shot with each other. And then the whole crowd raised their drinks. I did a shot with them. And it was one of those things where, as a comic, I know that laughter is the best medicine, but even in that moment, when racial tensions are at an all-time high, we're at an all-time high, everything's divisive. There was a room full of strangers together, and it was one of those moments where I was really proud to be a comic because I was like, we just did a shot. Everybody's laughing. It felt great. There was good mojo in the air. And I was like, man, these are the times I love my job. I truly love being a stand-up comedian.
Oh, that's cool.
That is awesome.
That's a cool story.
Give me another shot. I'm going to get an Uber Metallica black on the way home.
I heard Dave Chappelle built a comedy club on his property in Ohio.
Yellow Springs, yeah.
Yeah, where he basically the field of dreams of comedy, where he built the stage and has it all where people
can go work out all your stuff.
And comedians are going there every single weekend. Have you been approached by Dave to come out there? Oh, no. Not at all, no. I keep checking my messages.
No, but Dave is literally the nicest guy in comedy. When people were trying to cancel him, I think the backlash, like the same thing with Burr, right? Burr's on SNL, and he has a killer set. And the great news about that is that you see in a guy that could have worked this at the Comedy Cellar every night and just kind of grinded it at outdoor shows in New York City, and he delivered a flawless monologue. But cancel culture, here's what I don't like about cancel culture. They're looking to destroy, right? But the minute you destroy something, well, what are you going to put in the place of what you destroyed? Nothing. We just don't like it. It's like, well, if you don't replace it, you don't have a plan, then this is what stays in place. It's a bunch of indoor cats and cubicles that I just don't... These are people that have never been in a fist fight.
That's right.
Never got their teeth kicked in. They don't have any dirt underneath their fingernails. So I think there is this perception of reality that exists at the Huffington Post or these other outlets that maybe I just don't jive with. That's just me personally. And I think... most Americans, most people in life just want to pay their bills, keep the lights on, take their kids out to Chili's on the weekend, and that's it. And I think if a joke has the capacity to ruin your day, you live a blessed life, because there's a lot more people out there worrying about a lot more things than a joke.
Damn, that's so true!
Doing a shot. We're singing that. This is what it's like to be Bert Kreischer. I got to take my shirt off.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
I did mine.
He already did awesome. His. You didn't wait for Steve Byrne.
Guys, call me the machine.
Damn, no quarantine body for you.
No, it's pretty bad.
No.
It's pretty bad. I've been eating like an eighth grader. I've had... It's been a diet of Arby's and Taco Bell, guys.
Look at that. It's pretty good, Steve Byrne.
Guys, I got to put my shirt on, because if I stay on any longer, I think Woody Allen's going to divorce soon.
Yeah, comedian Steve Byrne, he wrote and directed the new film, The Opening Act.
Oh,
it is available
and with that.
Starting today. Yeah, when the clothes come off, it's time to go. No, it's not. It starts today on Apple, iTunes, and Amazon. You say this follows basically... your life as a stand-up. Now, is it before all of this, like before the cancel culture, so when we're watching this, it reminds us of the freedom that comedy had when you were first starting?
When you could do jokes, yeah. I think what people need to realize out there is that comedy clubs, any comedy venue, especially comedy clubs, it is truly the last vessel of free speech that exists in this world, in this country. There's no HR in comedy.
Right. We don't have it, but you guys have it. You're in a dark club. It's nighttime. We're all in this little room together. You should be.
Have a few drinks. Don't take life so seriously. Yes. Don't treat yourself so precious. And I'm tired of people getting offended for other people. You know, I've gotten to the point where it's gotten so out of hand and ridiculous. But I think that the pendulum will always swing back as long as people keep laughing at Bill Burr, as long as people keep laughing at Dave Chappelle. People in on those coastal elites will realize that most people just don't care. They just want to get on with their lives and they want to have a laugh. And why not have a laugh at each other's expense? Because Sammy Davis Jr. said, the minute they stop making fun of you is the minute they stop caring about you.
Damn.
So if we all just make fun of each other, have fun.
Can I tell you what you've just told me?
Yes.
Frank Kramer is madly in love with me. And cares about me deeply.
Yes.
Yeah, the minute I stop making fun of you is the minute that...
We're going to Vegas, baby. Yeah. Give me another shot.
Yeah, I guess the heckler never wanted to get the comedian canceled. The heckler just wanted to be a part of the show, where it's like he wasn't That's so right. upset with your jokes or the fact that they weren't funny to him or whatever they thought. They just wanted to yell out and be a part of it. Yeah. It makes you miss like the heckler in the sense that the cancel culture is just, no, I didn't get it. I've probably never seen the guy's act. I have no idea.
Yeah, I heard it third hand. Yeah.
I heard from a friend who said they heard you say this on the air. And I mean, I've had that too.
From a friend.
Yeah, Audio Speedwagon.
Yeah.
That's
they
right.
started this whole cancel culture. That's right. It's never firsthand.
It's them.
Oh, yeah. It's happened to us before on the radio where it's like somebody didn't even hear what was said. It's like, well, I don't listen to your show, but I heard. And you're like,
you didn't even get it.
You didn't even hear the right thing.
Yeah, so recently I got some letters from a lesbian who was very, very upset about somebody who came out.
That was for me.
It was like three lesbians who were like saying, you know,
go on.
You need to apologize.
More?
And I was like, what are you talking about? I got a dyke on the show.
Oh my God. Jesus. I mean,
give me the bottle.
Okay.
I got to pass it to her.
Are you kidding?
No, I got to pass it to her.
Give me the bottle.
No, I got to drive home.
I'll pass her the bottle.
I got to drive home. I haven't had breakfast yet.
Oh my God.
Me neither.
I will say this. Lesbians, I love you. I love you.
Thank you, Steve.
Gay guys are the greatest. The greatest hybrid of a human being, because a gay man essentially is like the happiest woman you've ever met in your entire life. That's what a gay man is. A lesbian is like the grumpiest man you've ever met in your entire life. Not you though, the other ones.
Those other ones that wrote me. Yeah. Oh, Steve, it's so much fun having you on the show.
Oh, we love you.
And be sure and support
Where
Steve.
Where to next? Where are we going? Out back?
Yeah, we're going down back.
You got him all drunk and I was like, let's go do some
jello shots.
Go check out the opening act. It's available today on Apple, iTunes, and Amazon. And yeah, we'll talk about it. That's your homework. Go watch that. We'll talk about it on Crossing Streams next Wednesday.
Hell
okay?
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steve,
thank you for having me. Shout out. Obviously, I did my best Bert Kreischer, but he's got a great show on yes. Netflix called The Cabin, and it's I don't want to swear. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it really is.
I've heard wonderful things.
We'll check it out.
Check
yeah,
out
I love Bert.
The Cabin as well. All right.
We'll be at the Vineland if you come out to the drive-in at the opening act, 10:30 Friday and Saturday. I think Sunday too. But
so tonight
we'll be there
tonight.
Tomorrow, Saturday, okay. Sunday. Yeah. But good, thank you guys. By the way, for being so supportive and kind to open your doors to me over these years. And I got to tell you, thank you for honestly giving me the inspiration for that scene. I can't
I
wait to hear
wait.
What you
I'm gonna watch
think
it tonight.
About this because there's ramifications throughout the course of the film that deal with that particular scene. It comes back to haunt him miserably. So
oh,
I really can't
God.
Wait to hear what you guys have to say.
Can't
Again,
wait.
It's called The Opening Act on Apple, iTunes, and Amazon. Opens up today. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you.
We got to get a look at traffic. What's going on, Aki?